Hey, it's Flaves, and this is Climate Changers, a podcast where we celebrate the heroes who are on the front lines of creating a new and sustainable resource and energy economy. Today, my guest is Emily Olson, a regenerative strategist and founder of Regen Friends. Hi, Emily. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be among all of the phenomenal guests that you've had, so I appreciate being here.
Oh, thank you. So, Emily, what is regeneration and how does it differ from other environmental movements?
So the simplest way for me to describe regeneration or regenerative is to say that it has a net positive impact. The principles of regeneration are based on restoration, renewal, and growth. And if you want to get really nerdy or academic, I should say, we can go with Carol Sanford's definition, and she's really kind of the OG of the whole regenerative business movement. She would say that regenerative systems evolve capability for essence expression, resulting in systemic actualization. And I would highly recommend you read some of her books to understand what that means.
I definitely will.
For the sake of this conversation, let's think of it as having net positive impact.
And you've built an amazing network with Regen Friends. What inspired you to create this innovative platform? And what's your vision for the change it'll create?
So really stemming from the belief that I have, strong belief that commerce creates culture, right? So we're creating the culture that we live in through the products we produce and the products we consume. So I've spent my entire 20 plus year career working for positive impact brands and organizations in order to attempt to contribute to a healthy, thriving culture. And I actually went back to school over a decade ago as a single mom, worked really hard to earn an MBA in sustainable enterprise so I could learn how to use solid business skills to effectively create a balance between purpose and prosperity. And the last decade of my career has been specifically focused in sustainability, working with thought leaders in the sustainability industry. So what happened was in 2017, I found myself sitting on a curb outside of a family home, and what they called the California firestorms were raging about a mile away from me. And ashes were raining down on my hair. And I remember sitting there thinking, you know, as sustainability leaders, we're really not doing a good job, right? Because climate change is worse than ever. I don't know if the house that I'm sitting in front of is going to get evacuated or not. The total economic cost of those 2017 fires was $180 billion, right? So the culture that we've created is not a nurturing and healthy and an environmentally thriving culture. It's a culture that's based on extraction and conquest, really. So having that thought of, oh no, what are we going to do now if this sustainability thing isn't working? I started to learn about the principles of regeneration and having a net positive impact. And that really made a lot more sense to me. So I started thinking about developing business systems that instead of being based on flatline sustainability, we can sustain anything, even something that we don't want to sustain, right? We've certainly sustained climate change. When I started to think about it as, well, let's build business systems that are having a net positive impact, then I thought, okay, well, this is a lot more interesting. And we can then sustain those systems. So that was really kind of the origin of how I came up with the idea of Regen Friends. And then our mission has really been to promote regenerative, net positive solutions through a diverse and inclusive global community of Regen Friends. And so our goal, which is going to sound grandiose, I'm going to just warn you, is to fundamentally shift production and consumption away from being based on extraction, separation, and conquest, and towards having a net positive impact so we can reverse climate change and build healthy, thriving communities.
That's super interesting because the environment and economic prosperity are often viewed as competing, but you've positioned regeneration as a race to prosperity. How can regeneration help the earth while also creating economic prosperity?
Well, I don't believe that we can actually have sustainable economic prosperity without having a healthy earth, right? So the example I gave before of the 2017 wildfires costing $180 billion, that was a direct result of climate change. So because of these environmental disasters, we're pouring billions and billions of dollars down the drain. Whereas if we had used the $180 billion to protect the environment and to help mitigate climate change, we would be living in a far different economic situation.
Customer behavior is going to be key to this transition. You recently completed an extensive survey on the emerging regenerative customer. What is a regenerative customer? And through this research, what did you learn about how they think?
We did. Great question. So just in 2020, we conducted an in-depth research study of over 1,500 respondents. We used a nationally representative sample of average everyday shoppers. The primary objective of the research was to assess the consumer appeal of regenerative as a communication platform that leads to positive impact on reputation, revenue, profits, and risk reduction. And we did this because I've worked with so many founders that are so passionate and have phenomenal ideas, much like I found myself in that position when I was thinking about Regen Friends. So I really wanted to test the concept of regeneration as a business platform with consumers. Thankfully, what we found was that in my partner and I's combined 50 years of market research, we'd never seen results so dramatic. Across every demographic, every age group, every location, consumers were overwhelmingly favorable for regenerative solutions. So it's really phenomenal response. Within the survey, subjects examined included the role of purpose in purchase decisions, consumers' current understanding of sustainability, their satisfaction of current green and sustainable product offerings, and then the role that they believe brands are playing within climate change and so forth. We ask a lot of open-ended questions because we think that that's really where we get the best information. And we had respondents passionately writing phrases like, "This sounds like a rebirth," "continuous supply," and "vital." One respondent simply wrote, "Regenerating is just more fun than sustaining," which I completely agree with.
While early regenerative customers are driven by climate guilt, I've found that some potential customers at the margins are turned off by the idea of facing more guilt. How can we frame a more positive message for including climate as part of purchasing decisions?
That's a great question. And in fact, I've seen a lot of interesting conversations around actually putting carbon labeling on products. And would that be a good idea? Do we need another label and so forth? I think any knowledge is good knowledge. And so it's up to the customer how they want to frame that knowledge, right? So if I'm buying a hamburger, let's say, and I can see that this hamburger had X impact on my carbon emissions, I can then choose to ask for a competitor's, you know, carbon emissions so I can compare the two, or I can eat the hamburger and find another way to potentially offset those emissions. I feel like if we're going to be experiencing guilt, that's our own choice. We can frame it as I feel guilty about the impacts that I'm having on climate change, or, wow, now I have more information and I can make a different choice.
You've recently started a new position as sustainability ambassador at Sustana. Congratulations. It sounds like a great opportunity to have an impact. What does Sustana produce and how do you envision your role?
Thank you. Yeah, so Sustana is a really innovative, forward-thinking company in an industry that has a terrible reputation. I've recently come on, like you mentioned, as director, sustainability, and ambassador to continue to grow all the great work Sustana Group is already doing with their sustainability initiatives and reinforcing their position as the most eco-friendly paper company in North America. We hope that by leading by example, we can actually change this industry and have a net positive impact, like I mentioned before, with regenerative principles. Sustana Group has three locations. Roland Paper Company is located in Quebec. They've been in business for over 100 years now, and we have two locations in the US and Canada for Sustana Fiber. Interesting about Roland is that since 2004, their main energy source is from biogas. So methane is captured from the decomposition of waste in a nearby landfill to prevent its release in the air. It's then purified and compressed and transported in an 8-mile pipeline to fulfill 93% of the paper mill's thermal energy needs. So they're using this instead of traditional fossil fuels, which is really cool. Sustana Fiber is a key player in the circular economy. As you know, the circular economy is built on the notion that the life cycles of materials and resources that have already served a purpose for end users can be preserved and extended. And in this case, we're talking about fiber, which can be repurposed over 7 times. Each year, Sustana Fiber recycles over 318 tons, saving 3.3 billion pounds of CO2, 7.6 million trees, and 610 million gallons of water. So containers and packaging make up a quarter of all landfill, and they're mostly food related. So one of our most innovative products is called EnviroLife, and it's made from 100% recycled fiber, which is compliant with FDA standards for direct food content. So this is a really new and exciting innovation, and we are working with companies like Starbucks in order to get more recycled content back into their supply chain.
So with all of your broad exposure to the emerging regenerative economy, what makes you most optimistic about a regenerative future?
I'll tell you, it's our youth. It's the youth of today, which makes me so optimistic. And the reason why is because they have the amazing ability, mostly through social media, to rapidly mobilize. If you remember in 2019, we had our first ever global strike. Right? If you just think about that for a moment, we had an actual global strike, and that was striking for climate change, and it was organized by our youth. So that makes me incredibly happy and incredibly optimistic that they can mobilize that quickly and have that big of an impact.
Well, Emily, thank you for bringing a data-driven and customer-centric approach to accelerate the regenerative movement. And thank you for joining this episode of Climate Changers.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Every episode of Climate Changers has a call to action posted in the show notes. Each call to action has been curated to make it easy for you to help create the changes that we discussed today. Thank you for joining Climate Changers. Until next time.